I was thinking about this particular expression, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. These wise men, as the scriptures call them, these magi who came from the east, apparently students of the stars who had been studying the heavens and who also were familiar with the ancient scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures. They came from the east seeking for the one. They knew that this star, the nature of it being miraculous evidently, was indeed sent to awaken them to the realization that the King of the Jews had been born. And then there was a time when they didn't see the star, when they were in Jerusalem, where they presumed that the King of the Jews would be born. And of course, the news of their question there set all the city into an uproar. And then it was that they learned that it was not in Jerusalem, but in a nearby town, just a short distance away, and a town so insignificant in the minds of many that it seemed that it would not be a fitting place for the birthday of a king. They went to Bethlehem. And we read that when they left Jerusalem and they went to Bethlehem, the star that they had seen before appeared again and actually traveled before them, led them on, until it came to the very place where Jesus was. And we read that when they saw the star, having lost sight of it for a time, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. What was it about Christ's star, this special star, that made them so happy? Well, I would suggest to you just three thoughts. It was, first of all, a sign to them of God's providential direction. They rejoiced because, for a time, they had lost the track, as it were. They went to the place where they thought they would find him, and they didn't find him there. But then, when they left that place, the sign appeared again, the star. And I do believe it was a miraculous star. I do not subscribe to the various naturalistic explanations that are given. There were unusual signs in the heavens at that period of time. But this star was of such a nature as to appear and disappear and to move before them and to direct them. They were glad because God had not left them to go in their own way. He had not left them to find the Savior on their own. It was a sign to them of God's providential direction. But I think they were happy as well because they understood that it was the evidence of God's fulfillment of his promises. These were men, as I said, who had studied the ancient scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures. And whether they were descended from those of whom we read in the prophecy of Daniel, who were known to Daniel, or whether they arose from some other line, it was clear that in Persia they had studied those ancient scriptures and in them saw again and again the evidence of the fulfillment of God's promise, and how struck they must have been when they were told to go to Bethlehem. They were not present when the scribes and the chief priests were demanded, were required by Herod to tell where Christ should be born. They weren't present then. But when they were told to go to Bethlehem, they must have remembered the very prophecy of which the chief priests and scribes had spoken, that we heard read this evening, that prophecy in Micah 5, "Thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah." How they must have rejoiced that here was evidence. God was very specifically fulfilling his promise. They understood that God is a God of precision. God is a God of detail. I was struck as our brother was reading from Luke chapter 1 this evening, how in particular the scripture says the virgin's name was Mary, a particular person. And so in this particular case, they were struck by how that prophecy from so many centuries before was now fulfilled, and so many others that they had read. The prophecy of Christ rising as a star out of Jacob. The prophecy of Christ, as we heard read this evening, as Shiloh. God's fulfillment of His promise. And we can rejoice tonight that as surely as God fulfilled His promises in the ancient scriptures, in the coming of Christ, He will fulfill His promises again. And then I think that they were rejoicing because the star was the signal of the spread of the gospel. Here were men, apparently, who were not Jews. They were Gentiles. And they came from a far country, and they came on a long journey. And they came to worship the Son of God. They came to worship Christ. And as they saw the star, here was the signal that now the gospel was going to be spread not only to Jews, but to Gentiles. That the world over, there would come the tidings of this one who was born a Savior. Born to set men free. That is why they rejoiced. They saw the star, and they knew they would not miss seeing Him of whom the star spoke to them. We rejoice tonight because Emmanuel has come. That carol that we sang at the end is fairly recent in composition. And I happen to know both the author of the words, or the arranger of the words, and the composer of the music. And what a great theme on which to end. To rejoice because Emmanuel, the God-man, has come. I trust you know Him. I trust your faith is in Him. Because at this particular season, there is not a greater blessing to have, not a greater source of joy than to know that Emmanuel, the God-man, has come, and that He has come to save your soul.